Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. For more information on all things Pneuma, please contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Now get ready for another inspirational message.
It's so good to be here with you today. And God bless all of you for being here on Australia Day long weekend. I pray there's a special blessing from heaven for you, the faithful who are here today. And I'll do my very best, all right, to give you two things. Make it short and make it worth your while coming. Praise God. Yes, thank you, Pastor Luke and Pastor Mark, wherever you are. Great job hosting us today. Been friends with Pastor Corey and Simone for quite a few years and just excited. This is my first time I've ever preached at Pneuma Church. For most people, it's the first time they preach at Pneuma Church because it's a new name, but praise God. I had some time off over Christmas. I hope you do. I'm fairly relaxed. I actually wore my jacket in the first service, but it was getting a bit warm. So please excuse me if you're those kind of people expect the preacher to wear a jacket. I had 3 weeks off. I spent a lot of time walking in the fields behind my house with my new dog, chasing kangaroos and having a good time in suburban Melbourne. Kangaroos are a great congregation. They just run away every time you come near them. My new dog, my wife and I, we decided we'd get a puppy. We don't know what we were doing. And so our puppy is now, I think, 6-7 months old. She's 25 kilos, and she loves to run, and I can't catch her. I was going for a walk with her a couple last week over at the back, and I always try to get her before we come out of the field so that she doesn't take off down the street and terrorize the neighbors. And I'm running to get her and put the lead on, and she just skipped out and I tripped and I planted my face on the rocks that are on the ground, and I'm crawling to my feet, my knees are bleeding and my face is cut, blood's dripping down there. I go, Maggie. She just ran off and left me. Didn't care less. No sympathy at all for me. Praise God. If you want to look at kangaroos, look at my Facebook page. I take photos whenever I go over the back. I should be a National Geographic photographer, I think. But, you see those things they say, taken with the iPhone. I need to be there. It is a delight to be with you. I'm going to preach a message from a passage of Scripture. It's one of my all-time favorites. It's found in Zechariah chapter 3. And in it, we see this scene that has been created by the words of the prophet. So the prophet Zechariah, he's explaining to us, he's showing us what the Lord showed him. He sees a vision and he writes down for us to understand it. And in this few verses, I just see the microcosm, if you will, of all of us. It has as the focus of the story Joshua the high priest, this man called Joshua. And so I want you today, if you would, for a moment, for the few moments we've got, put yourself in the picture, because I see in this few verses a powerful picture of the importance of connections that God makes available to us. We have connections that are available to us, but it's largely up to us to actually appreciate and step into those connections to make sure that they're vital and important in our lives. You know, I love this nation, Australia. I was born here. I grew up here. I'm pretty much an Anglo. But today we have people that your background and where we've come from, our nationality, our culture, our upbringing, our parental example, our financial resources, our educational opportunities could be so vastly, vastly different. But I love the fact that in Christ, when we give our lives to Jesus, when we start to follow Him, it brings us all up to a new level. It doesn't matter where you started. It doesn't matter what you went through. It doesn't matter what your past experience was. In Christ, we all get the opportunity to connect in such a way that will give us a new hope, a new future, a new destiny, and direction and vision for our lives. So here we go. Zechariah chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you want to open with me. From verse 1, it says, "Then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to oppose him. And the Lord said to Satan, 'The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a burning stick plucked from the fire?' Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and was standing before the angel. And then he answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garment from him. And to him he said, see, I have removed your iniquity from you, and I will clothe you with rich robes. And I said, let him put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head, and they put the clothes on him, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Just a few verses, but it paints a picture for us and helps us to see from a spiritual perspective sometimes the things that might be distant from us in our natural walk. Here we see this person in the middle, Joshua the high priest. The high priest of the nation of Israel was the highest religious office that someone could attain to. And so I'm not sure how it all happened, but through the journey of his life, he'd got qualified and he'd been selected and he'd worked his way. And now he finds himself in this place of being someone who's made it, someone who's holding the highest religious position that there is in the whole nation. And so I think it's great because it gives us perspective on where God wants to take us from and where God wants to take us to. And it helps us to understand that even though we might hold position or office, we still need to be connected to certain things in order to move forward in the plans and purposes of God. So the first thing I see as I look at this passage is that it says Joshua the high priest was standing in the presence of the angel of the Lord. Let me just take a minute to explain to you, in the Old Testament, when we see a reference to the angel of the Lord with a capital A, it is actually a reference to the pre-existent person of Jesus Christ. Before Jesus was born on Christmas Day and lived his earthly life, ministry, offered his life as a sacrifice, the cross, rose from the dead, victorious over sin and the grave, he was existent before that time. He is the only begotten of the Father, not created. He is an everlasting being, right? And so before the Christian era, he existed and he interacted with the people of the earth throughout the Old Testament. And every time you see this reference to the angel of the Lord with a capital A, it's actually speaking about this, the person of Jesus Christ. Of course, they couldn't call him Jesus then because he hadn't been born. He didn't have that name yet. So he's the angel of the Lord with a capital A. And so here we see this picture of Joshua the high priest standing in the presence of Jesus. The first thing I want to say to you, if you want to make your 2020 the most successful year you've ever had, be committed to stay close to the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. It's such a powerful picture that I see here. My original PowerPoint's got a painting that I downloaded off the internet, but it shows the closeness. This is man, he's standing there, he's got his high priestly garments and the angel of the Lord is there. And it speaks to me of not just location. I went to the cricket last night and that was a mistake. And I was sitting close to a lot of people, but I wasn't in their presence, if you know what I mean. There was no connection. We just had a seat that was near each other. You're sitting near people today, but it doesn't necessarily mean there's a presence. And to me, this picture, there's knowledge here. There's an awareness of where he is. There's a closeness and an intimacy. There's a relationship. There's interaction. There's a transaction that's taking place. As he's in the presence of the Lord, stuff is happening. And so I want us to appreciate this, that our connection to the presence of God is not just a religious duty or something we do for 20 minutes in the Sunday service every Sunday. Let's spend time in the presence of the Lord. No. It's something much more than that. It's a real thing. It's not just a mystical religious thing. It's a real thing. And we need to cultivate this idea of being in the presence of God. The Bible says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. In other words, I've got the initiative to take to say, I want to shut out all the things that distract. I want to make sure I present myself in the presence of Almighty God. I want to get there to that place, because in that place is where stuff happens. In that place is where vision is released. In that place is where the future is unfolded. In that place, those things that would come against my life, the things that would try to rob me and assault me, they're dealt with. In that place, I stay where I'm meant to be. And what God has called me and created me to be is in His presence. Come on, when we get to the end of the story, we're all going to spend eternity in the presence of God. So success for us today in 2020, living in Melbourne, Australia, is the secret is now you have the opportunity to commit yourself to a closeness to His presence. Don't wait for then. Do it now, because success and blessing and everything God has for us flows out of that intimacy and transaction that takes place when I get into the presence of God. Anyone want to say amen today? Just encourage me a little bit. I'm sorry that the seats are so comfortable here, all right? I'm sorry they're not hard. But stay awake and stay with me, please. Thank you, Jesus. So the presence of God is so important for us. And it's not supposed to be a once-off experience. Yeah, I came into His presence last Sunday. No, stay in the presence. The presence of God, close to Him, communing with Him, in relationship with Him. The most number one important thing for success in 2020. When's the last time you really were in the presence of God? When's the last time you intentionally drew near, put aside everything else just to be close to Him and let something happen? Come on. Second thing I see here says, I saw Joshua the high priest standing in the presence of the angel of the Lord and Satan. What? And Satan at his right hand to accuse him. Why has Satan got to be in the picture? I thought I left him behind. You know, I used to serve the devil. I used to be in his kingdom, but thank God that Jesus reached me and I've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And now I'm a Jesus person, right? I'm connected to Jesus. I don't want to say, so here we go. This is important. Yes, all of that which I said is true, but you need to understand, appreciate, there is a connection still to the enemy of your soul. Not because you're in his kingdom, but because he will try to come and speak into your world, into your life, to accuse you, to intimidate you, to undermine you, to rob you. Remember John 10:10, the thief comes up to kill and to steal and destroy, right? Jesus came to give us life. So we need to understand here that this is the picture, standing in the presence of the Lord. But Satan is there and he's accusing. It says he's Satan to accuse him. And if we jump forward, we see Joshua's got a problem. He's got filthy garments, right? Filthy garments. Just got to love the imagery and the words that he uses. It's not smudged, right? I'm always getting into trouble because I get to go out with a shirt on and my wife says, it's got a smudge. And I go, yeah, I'll get another wear out of that. I'm like, is there other guys here like that? And she goes, you're not going out like that. Take it off and put something clean on. But this wasn't a smudge. It actually says, not even dirty, filthy, all right? And so this is it. He's standing in the presence of the Lord. His garments are filthy, which tells me that Satan has got something to say. His accusation is not without a truth to it, right? There's something going on here, and this is what Satan does. He will use every failing, every mistake, everything that goes on in your world to use it against you. Why? To stop you being the man or woman that God has called you to be. To stop you to being a force for good. To stop you from doing what God's called you to do. If he can, he will use that voice to make you sit down, keep quiet, get back in your box, and don't make waves. How many times has Satan tried to discourage, to take our strength, to rob us of our confidence, to stand up and to do what God's called us to do. Come on. You know what I really believe? I really believe this, that Satan has done such a good job of intimidating, of lying, and of undermining God's people that he doesn't even have to speak anymore. We tell ourselves, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You're a son and daughter of the living God. And so here's the connection to Satan. This is what I want to say about it. In the passage here, it says, the angel of the Lord says to him, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. That's Old Testament, right? New Testament, Jesus, this same being who came and lived a life and taught us how to relate to God and how to follow God. He says this in Luke 10, 19. He says, "Behold, I give you power and all authority that you might trample on snakes and scorpions." This is the devil, the snakes, "and over all of the works of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you." In other words, instead of like it here is in Old Testament theology, in the New Testament, Jesus said, you need to tell him to shut up. The angel of the Lord told him to shut up here. See, here's this man. He's standing there. He's got filthy garments. He's messed up. He's failed. He's sinned. I don't know what it was, but something's gone on. And the devil is accusing him. Look at him. How can you choose this one? How can you use this one? Look at him. What he's done. But the Lord doesn't say anything except, shut up, Satan. Come on. Now, New Testament. Here we are, 2020. This is what Jesus says to you, believer, saint, son or daughter of God. Tell him to shut up. Stop listening to what he says. Stop letting him rob you of your potential. Stop letting him rob you of your fearless confidence to stand up and say, no. I don't want to believe the voice of the devil when he speaks over my life. If I believe what he says, I'll never do anything. I'll just stay home. But God hasn't called us to be quiet. He hasn't called us to be silent. We need to find our voice to begin to tell the devil to stop his lies and stop his maneuvers and stop all of his activities against our future, against our destiny, and against our 2020. We need to find our voice and start to tell him what he needs to do. And the main thing he needs to do is shut up. Good. You all with me? Six people are. That's good. So here we are. Joshua the high priest standing in the presence of the angel of the Lord. He's got filthy garments. And this is what the Lord said. He doesn't say to him, Joshua, what have you been up to? He doesn't say, you know what, Joshua, Satan's got a point. He says to the people standing by, take off the filthy garments and put on rich robes. I love that, Pastor Luke, because, you know, you sort of come in with Kmart and you go out with Ralph Lauren. You get an upgrade in the presence of God. Come on. That's good preaching right there. Every time I come to the presence of God, I get an upgrade. Hallelujah. I know all my Asian friends, they just love Ralph Lauren. Okay, so here we go. Here we go. So this is the point I want to make to you, the connection that's important. It's a connection to the righteousness of God. This is an important connection for us to have a win in 2020. Stay connected to the righteousness of God. And so this is what he says, take it off, put on new ones. Here's my point. You can't stay dirty in the presence of God. Why do I need to stay close to his presence? Because I can't stay dirty in the presence of God. Doesn't matter where I've been, doesn't matter what I've done, doesn't matter if I have failed again. You know what? We condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves up about our failures, but Jesus doesn't. He says, if you just draw near, if you just get yourself into my presence, there's a transaction that takes place. Your filthy becomes his clean. And this is what it says, 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in him. There's a transaction, and the righteousness of God, the right standing, the cleanness of God is placed on my life like a garment every time I come close to the presence of God. I don't have to come and beg. I don't have to say, oh, Lord, I've failed. Forgive me. What I got to do is just make sure I stay connected to the presence. And as I stay connected to his presence, that new garment of righteousness is mine. Come on, who's excited about that? If you're a Christian, you know, this day and age, people want to preach all about grace and all this stuff. I think somehow we've got things a bit mixed up. It's not about grace. It's about righteousness. It's about holiness. It's about being a being who can stand in the presence of a holy God. And Jesus did it for you. All you need to do is make sure I stay connected to the presence, right? In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, we read, and they hid themselves from the presence of God. They ran away, and the Lord came looking for them, saying, where are you guys? Where are you? Oh, we were frightened. We hid ourselves because we'd sinned, because we were naked. Who told you we're naked? So here we go. Here's the whole deal. There's a natural human tendency when we fail to want to run away from the presence of God. But the secret is get connected and stay close, because cleanliness, righteousness, holiness comes to us every time we get close to the presence of God. I love this passage of scripture. We all sin, we all fall short, but come on. I don't know what's been happening in your world, but I want to tell you this, being connected to his presence will get you an upgrade of new garments. All right, this next thing I want to talk to you about here is for me one of the most powerful things in this passage, and it makes up two of my points. This is the first one. The prophet begins to speak as he's viewing the vision. So it says, and I said, hang on a minute, aren't you just recording for us what you observed? No, all of a sudden he begins to speak into the vision. He needs a new turban. He needs to be brainwashed. He needs a clean turban is what it says. It's almost like there's something wrong with his thinking, something wrong in his head, and God, we need something to happen. And so there's two things I want to share with you from this. The first one is that you have a voice that you need to find. You need to find your voice to speak over the circumstances of your own life. I hear so many times people giving us the bad news, people who telling us what's happened in their life, what problems they've faced, what challenges have come against their world, and they're sharing the depths of this problem over and over again with everybody who'll listen. But you know, I want to tell you, the Bible never says that you are meant to talk about your problems. It says you're meant to speak to them, right? Don't talk about them, talk to them. He said, whoever says to this mountain, this problem, this object, be removed, be cast in the sea, doesn't doubt, believes in his heart, those things that he said he will have. And so at the end of the day, what benefit is there in talking about your problems? You need to talk to them, right? Sickness, you got to go in Jesus' name. I don't want to declare over my life the facts about the issues I face. Find your voice in 2020. Let your voice be a force for change and for good. Speak new vision. Speak new direction. Speak new thinking over your own life, over your world. Speak over your children. Speak over your grandchildren. Speak over your finances. Speak over your health. Speak over your employment. Right? Not the facts, but speak into that environment prophetically to see things change. The greatest weapon that God has given you is your voice. And yet so many believers have used it to just reinforce the problem rather than to speak life into the future. Come on, this is much better preaching you give me credit for. We need to find our voice. I don't know how many times I've heard people just... So Jesus was very helpful on this point, because if you look at the Gospels, whenever he was in a conversation with people, he would give them a reading of what they said. So when the disciples were drowning in the middle of the lake in the storm and said, Lord, we're drowning, we're perishing, he goes, you guys have got no faith at all. Well, how did he know that? Because of what they said, right? The words either empowered the problem or released the answer. Oh, come on. You got to find your voice. And to the Peter's walking on the water, which we all think that was pretty good. But when he started to sink and he looked at the waves, Lord, help me, I'm drowning. And he goes, how is it you have little faith? Just a little faith. Everything we say carries power. And so we have the ability as God's people to speak over the lives of our family, over our own lives, and declare God's purpose and God's will in every situation, not what the devil wants, all right? The second thing that I see in this thing is that we need to stay connected to other people who speak good over our lives. You know, you don't have to go far to find someone who will say something negative about you. Amen? No, you don't have to go far. If I want to find someone to be critical, that's easy. Just type a sentence on Facebook. It's all you need. But the reality is, here we see a third party, the prophet, who's a spectator, come on, he's a spectator to this scene. He speaks into this scene that he's observing, and the Lord hears him and changes the outcome because of his words. I don't know that I've ever seen anywhere else in the scripture where this occurred. And to me, it carries so much power because I need to stay connected to people who will observe my world, will see what's going on in my life, and they will release a word from heaven that God hears and listens to and changes the end of the story. He got it. Amen. He got a new hat. He got, and I love it in here. It actually says to, he says, give him a turban first. It's like the response was immediate. The response, it went as a priority to the top of what God was intending to do in this situation, was what the third party who cared for Joshua, the third party who believed in him, the third party who wanted the best for him, right? So I need to make sure I stay connected to the people who speak good over my life. I want those people around me. I don't want the naysayers, and I don't want all of the negative people who say, you know, who are, you're too old now. 20 years this year I've been the state secretary for Australian Christian Churches. When are you going to give it up to someone else? I don't want to be around those. I want to talk to the people. Come on, Mark, we need you to do a bit more along. You've got to get the people around you who care about you, who want you to succeed and would speak and release the favor and blessing of God, because God's listening. God's listening. I love this. God listens to what the good people around you say, and he says, that's a good idea. Let's change the outcome of the story for that one in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, newma.church. Thank you for listening.